The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back. Lord knows. Top of the second hour of today's National Intel Report this Friday, May 25th, 2018. I'm guest hosting for John Stadmiller. This is Chris Hinckley. I'm the regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And so here's a question. What is the purpose of the military? I want to give you a four-star general's answer to that. Well, you know, a cynical answer, and it was cheeky. You've heard it. But we'll play it in a little bit. What is the purpose of the military? We're headed into Memorial Day weekend. And it's a time, I think, of sober reflection, quite frankly. As I said, I agree with Edward Abbey. A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government, he wrote, but I would say its government. This rogue political regime doesn't resemble the Constitution or the orthodoxy of the Constitution in any way. I mean, very, very slightly, you know, the window dressing of the three duly constituted branches, but they're mostly neutered, and power and authority has been consolidated in the executive branch. Anyway, I was about to say the controversy of the flag, you know, which direction does the Union face? And it's important. 4USC tells us so. But, you know, it's getting less and less well-known. You see people, the ignorance of people. And this is an interesting point. Just as a side note, you know, people not knowing which direction the Union is supposed to face on the American flag. It's a big deal. We should care. And I know it's sort of, you know, semantics. There is, I would say, there is that aspect. But it just speaks to our ignorance. And what's interesting in this context, I noticed, you know how artificial intelligence is gobbling up what people do? We need more data, more raw data for artificial intelligence to gobble up so that machine learning can process through things and learn things. Google keeps turning loose more and more stuff. We have the story about Alexa. Maybe we'll touch on that this hour. But, you know, recording conversations, and the family says, no, we didn't, it didn't say anything. It didn't give us any audible cues before it emailed our whole conversation to a buddy. Anyway, a work colleague. But, you know, the than and then, it's if then and more than or less than, but people seem to use than and then interchangeably these days, and it speaks to the ignorance of a nation, not just a generation, but a society, a culture. And I've noticed that in artificial intelligence, it's picking that up. That's interesting. So we're not programming the rules of grammar into machine learning, we're just going to go with pop culture. So we really maybe are headed to an idiocracy. Anyway, I've had moments where I've confronted folks on the direction of the Union on the flag, which direction or which side of the flag is it supposed to be displayed on. So you have the patches that aren't just military anymore. They find themselves out into the civilian world. The military will tell you officially the reason for the Union on the right side of the patch is that the flag is advancing. It can't be retreating. So we're imperialist now. We're just admitting it, apparently. But why does that concept have to find its way out into the civilian world? They're not advancing. They're not conquering, going around conquering and to conquer, as the Bible would put it. You know, first responders. Can't stand that term. But why is that patch, you know, displaying the Union on the wrong side? There was a time when that was recognized as a sign of infiltration and subversion. That's kind of the issue. I think it's a sort of mockery. Someone somewhere is laughing at a bunch of someone else's, if you know what I mean. Anyway, Dr. Kelly, are you still there?
Absolutely, and I just want to thank you for pointing out the spirit of error versus the spirit of truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should have a discerning spirit where, you know, the Bible tells us that. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 5 in particular says that, the writer of Hebrews says, I want to tell you more about the, you know, this story of Melchizedek, for example. There's a lot I want to tell you, but you guys are sucking on a bottle. You're supposed to be eating meat, and we're supposed to, through training, we're supposed to have our senses, through practice, have our senses trained to discern good and evil. And in one of his latest broadcasts, Alan Watt was talking about how bad guys have they're kind of street smart, because there's a certain street smarts or street savvy, and the rest of the American public basically is completely naive, beguiled, and like the domesticated herd or tribe that Bertrand Russell wrote about in The Impact of Science on Society, which is frightening.
And so, the civil peace flag, or part of it, is on the back of the right side of the dollar bill, the Federal Reserve note, pardon me, and the great seal that lies over the district court of the United States.
Yeah. Exactly.
People really appreciate it. I mean, even, you know, lawful immigrants to this country from South America and other places have told me that that flag is beautiful. Why isn't it across the land? You know, why is it being hidden? And why are we being deprived of our rights under color of law?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Ephesians 2:2 seems to be coming true and unfolding. And I was first studying that in the late 1980s, and I'm seeing it happen now. The prince of the power of the air.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, and I will yield the rest of the time and have a fabulous show, and I can't wait to hear about Alexa.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your call, Dr. Kelly, and great points. Appreciate it.
I think Alexa needs a hot bubble bath.
Yeah, exactly. All alone.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely get to that story. We need to do our homework, though. This should be a moment of, you know, I know that folks are going to go enjoy a weekend, and that's great, and I wouldn't, you know, besmirch that, but I think we need to reflect. It's going to be difficult, I think. I anticipate. I hope not. I think it's a spiritual issue, like we were talking about, you know, just a second ago. I think I think of passages like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the strong delusion. For this reason, God will cause a strong delusion so that they will believe what is false. Why? Basically because they love the fruit of unrighteousness, and that sounds like America today. So I hope and pray, not that I would forestall God's will, that would be bad, but I hope and pray for a thing I call Jonah's gospel. You know, like Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but yours father. But that, with that said, Jonah's gospel is what I call it. So Jonah, the Bible says that Nineveh was a 3-day journey, and Jonah, well, God told Jonah to go tell Nineveh, tell them that they've been judged. He said, go to Nineveh and say, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So finally he gets there, and the Bible says that it was a 3-day journey, and Jonah set out a day's journey. So that doesn't, maybe he made it a third of the way at best, but regardless, he didn't make it all the way through town according to that account. So he barely shows up, and word manages to get back to the king, and he declares a period of repentance, basically. And so it's that kind of spiritual wave that swept over Nineveh that we desperately need here in America. I mean, think of all of the things. We have some clips. I want to play a few clips, but I mentioned some of the things in the first hour. Look at where we are in America. It is, and we're, I mean, it's an insult, to say the least. You know, is it Stockholm Syndrome that has us commemorating Memorial Day? Remembering the people who died while serving the country's armed forces, our fallen military personnel. What are we fighting for? We should play with the Patrick Claussen clip queued up. The traditional way America gets to war. We have to play that. I want to play all of these, but let's see. Let's just go in order, I guess. If we're ready, let's play the Patrick Claussen. Remember, Patrick Claussen at the, from the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. I frankly think crisis initiation is, well, let's hear it from the horse's mouth himself. Go ahead, please.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war.
It would be best if somebody else started the war. I mean, listen to how matter-of-fact this guy sounds. And who is this guy? That's Patrick Claussen, the director of research and head of the Iran Security Initiative at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's a think-tanky technocrat. He's one of the experts, one of the philosopher kings. And you'll notice that if you go through those all of those presidencies – I'm almost compelled to say administration. I don't want to use that word, though. But each of those presidents campaigned on a humble foreign policy. And you can go back, you know, Wilson and FDR in particular, and see they lied through their teeth to the American public, knowing full well. How could they know? Because we hadn't had a world war ever to speak of. But they knew. You know, the plans were already drawn up years in advance. And you can listen to folks like James Perloff tell you the details of the plans that were drawn up years in advance. And you have in both of those administrations, speaking of Ralph McGahee's clip or quote, excuse me, from his book, Deadly Deceits, that the CIA is not, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. You mean like Edward Mandel House, the guy who was involved in the meetings to establish and create the Council on Foreign Relations 2 years before its creation? 1919, the meetings were held. He was instrumental in the Jekyll Island meeting. He was instrumental in a variety of other things, including two world wars. You know, speaking of James Perloff and Edward Mandel House, we should play that clip. Maybe we'll play that one next or at some point. The sinking of the Lusitania, which is one of the false flag or staged events that we just heard Patrick Claussen mention. So, I guess we'll come back to that maybe. You can find it on just the little 3.5 minute version of what I'm talking about. It's part of a broader talk that James Perloff gave. The full video you can find on YouTube by the channel Question Everything, published back in August of 2012. The video, it's been viewed a whopping 2,900 times. Wow. Since 2012. People go to such care to put this stuff together. So Question Everything YouTube channel publishes hour and 42 minute long talk that James Perloff gave. James Perloff, the author of The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline. He is a subject matter expert. So he goes to the trouble of giving the talk. He's exhaustively researched the subject matter and other folks, the 9/11 Truth, 9/11TruthNC.org. YouTube channel, not website, but 9/11TruthNC.org YouTube channel, clipped out a number of segments from that talk that James Perloff gave that Question Everything YouTube channel published, and published them in little snippets. So the one I just referred to, and basically everything that Patrick Claussen just said, this is an establishment think tank guy telling you. The traditional way that America gets to war, frankly, would be in America's best interest. What's that? False flag, staged terror events? You mean like Northwoods? Joint Chiefs planning to shoot down commercial airliners and bomb malls? Blame the Cubans so we can attack them and have the American people be in full support? Awesome. Well, I'm glad that doesn't happen anymore. I want to play that clip of Eric Holder, too. We'll get to that because when you listen to what Eric Holder said 23 years ago and you see what's happened in the wake of Parkland, I think they really think they got their recipe dialed in with Parkland. It hasn't worked, you know, in all of the other schools, you know, Sung-hee Cho, Ishmael Axe at Virginia Tech, or Sandy Hook, or Columbine, or, you know, all these places. Kids don't do that. Kids don't do that. And what's his name that Dan keeps wanting me to talk about? I forget the guy down in Texas. The first one back in 1966. Can't think of it. I'll think of it during the break. Anyway, kids don't do that unless they're drugged out, MK Ultra'd, Manchurian candidate patsies, you know, Manchurian patsies. Remember what Oswald said? I'm a patsy. Anyway, we'll be right back. Exactly.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Big John. Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John.
Big Bad John.
Welcome back.
Nobody seemed to know where John called.
We should just cram them all in, you know? We should cram all the clips in, including Trevor Aronson's TED Talk, How This FBI Strategy is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists. Trevor Aronson says, after years of research, I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is better at creating terrorists than it is at catching them. Wow. So, Mr. Bordop helps. Yes, it was Charles Whitman that I was thinking of, the Texas Tower Sniper, as he is infamously referred to, back on August 1 of 1966. And so, you know, speaking of Charles Whitman and the UT Tower incident, what do you know about Dexedrine? What do you know about the military and the CIA's super soldier program, not just MK Ultra in the psychedelic mind control sense, but do a search for Dexedrine super soldier or Dexedrine CIA, and you know, just kind of jump off from there. So from the Charles Whitman Wikipedia entry, autopsy. Although Whitman had been prescribed drugs and was in possession of Dexedrine, at the time of his death, the toxicology was delayed because Whitman had been embalmed on August 1st after his body was brought to the, you know how that always happens. However, an autopsy had been requested, and the suicide notes left by Whitman, and was then approved by. I mean, weird stories, always weird stories. So he takes, you know, when we heard about the alleged sniper's nest, and if you know anything about the, I'm jumping around here, I realize, but if you know anything about the story of Nicholas Cruz, the Sneed family. James and Kimberly Sneed, the last family that Nicholas Cruz was staying with, said they used to joke with their two sons that parenting Nicholas Cruz was, or, you know, parenting was like, they called it adult 101, because he, according to them, he had difficulty even operating a microwave. So this kid plans and executes a Jason Bourne styled op, and then is able to, well, you know, in the process, he changes his attire four times, according to eyewitnesses, hat and glasses, body armor, including helmet and mask, according to Stacy Lapel, the teacher interviewed by ABC News. And then, oh gosh, what was the other one? The sweatshirt. The hoodie, sweatshirt thing. And then he gets arrested in jeans and his Stoneman Douglas polo shirt. So, you know, I'm sure there's nothing to see there, but sniper's nest. So Charles Whitman takes some Dexedrine with him and, you know, supplies and everything, and goes up to the tower. And, you know, all of that sounds a lot like the CIA's super soldier program. So if you do some searches on that, you'll find stories like the Army technology story, creating supermen, battlefield performance enhancing drugs. That's one. The IB Times story from a while back, devil's breath drug scopolamine used by NASA and CIA. That's fun. And other stories like that. You know, again, we heard from folks like Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm a patsy, which is why I had to take a dirt nap. And so, you know, for those who don't know, when these people get picked up, and people say, well, why do they confess? Why do they say they're guilty when they're not, if they're not guilty? And the answer to that, I don't think is simple, unfortunately. I would point folks to William Pepper's work and the JFK assassination, or the, excuse me, the MLK assassination specifically, and James Corbett's interview last April 2017 of William Pepper, and William Pepper talking about how basically, you know, we hear that James Earl Ray escaped, but the forces that shouldn't be, the powers that shouldn't be, that arranged his escape, were doing that well in advance of the incident. And so why, if that was all true, why did James Earl Ray say that he did it and not, you know, say there's more to the story? Same thing with Sirhan Sirhan. Coerced confessions is what they amount to. And what they get told in simple terms is you're gonna fry if you don't say you did it. If you say you did it, we'll get your sentence, part of your sentence commuted, basically. You know, we'll lessen the charges. We'll cut a deal. That's what they're told. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. No, we're never gonna survive.
Welcome back. You got to wonder, you know, there's no investigative journalism more and more. You know, Sean Hannity likes to pride himself on saying journalism is dead. I think that might be too cynical. You know, I want to say investigative journalism died with Michael Hastings and Daphne Caruana Galizia. That's probably too cynical. I'm not making light. I'm saying, you know, it kind of speaks to what I was saying before. The, you know, organizations that, agencies that, well, what was the RBN headline, republicbroadcasting.org? The story is, headline is how the FBI and CIA restarted the Cold War to protect themselves. And it's just, it's cartoonish. All of it's cartoonish. It's ridiculous. The Cold War was cartoonish. Duck and cover, you know? kind of like the trauma, this what amounts to trauma-based mind control the kids are subjected to in schools these days, they call active shooter trainings that are indistinguishable from a live event. That's awful. That's mind control. And whenever that discussion arises, I always point to that Harvard University Center on the Developing Child working paper number 9. Persistent fear and anxiety can affect young children's learning and development. According to Harvard's Center on the Developing Child, active shooter drills, you know, you could make the strong case for active shooter drills causing irreparable mental harm to children. So anyway, the headline, how the FBI and CIA restarted the Cold War to protect themselves, reminds me of Richard Sakwa's words from Frontline Ukraine, his book. And the operative quote there is, he said it of NATO. NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence. But, you know, FBI, CIA, same thing. So that's interesting. But speaking of psychotropics and these incidents, I call them incidents because whatever did or did not happen is, you know, it's interesting. Nicholas Cruz, or name the Manchurian Patsy of the day, is convicted in the court of public opinion every time without exception. And there, you know, you see the little kind of oops, we mean suspect every once in a while. For every 10, you know, shooter, murder, even the sheriff, you know, the right worshipful Scott Israel, you know, is basically using reprehensible language. Him above all, he should be holding the line on innocent until proven guilty. And what's interesting about it, the reason I raise the point is because who has actually said they saw Nicholas Cruz? You don't really hear anyone say there was an eyewitness account of him shooting anyone. You know, the kid, the student who said, yeah, I saw him. Well, I mean, I didn't actually – I saw a hat and sunglasses. I didn't really actually see. I'm not sure it was him. But – and Stacey LaPelle's account, the ABC News interview, I saw 20 yards down the hall, the shooter spraying bullets and not hitting anyone. It sounds kind of like dummy rounds, doesn't it? But she said, I saw the shooter firing and I thought, what are the police doing here? You know, he had a full body armor on, including a helmet and mask, face mask. Really? Did all of that fit in the one bag the Uber driver allegedly, the alleged Uber driver said that Nicholas Cruz allegedly had? Anyway, so no one actually saw him. Where's the proof? But he's been convicted in the court of public opinion. In the minds of the American public, he's guilty. Fry him. Where's the evidence? Did they conduct nitrate tests? What were the results of the – did he have gunpowder residue on him? Where's the evidence? And that doesn't necessarily prove anything. So the sniper's nest, you know, the drugs, psychotropics, and the reason I mention Trevor Aronson and his TED Talk is because specifically one of the things that Trevor Aronson pointed out was that the FBI is notorious for their profile on these people. So they suborn people, you know, they in the FBI model, particularly with mosques, and Philip Haney wrote the book on that subject, See Something, Say Nothing. But the FBI will, well, sometimes they install an imam, sometimes not, but they'll satellite the mosque with informants, people that they recruit. They're low-level criminals that they cut deals with. Hey, you know, we could send you away for a while, or you could spy and snitch for us at the local mosque. And they install their informants and then end up recruiting what Trevor Aronson refers to as mentally ill and economically desperate people. That's the point. That's the MO. You don't want somebody smart enough to figure out what's going on. You want someone, as Trevor Aronson points out, most of these people, you know, the Sammy Osmakoshes, the James Cromedies, they have schizoaffective disorder, trouble distinguishing fantasy and reality. You know, when Muhammad showed up at Pioneer Square, read the FBI's account of that. So FBI, where do I have that handy? Pioneer Square. That was it, right? Oregon resident arrested in plot to bomb Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland. This is what they do. So from the FBI, archives.fbi.gov, end of the article. The title, Oregon resident arrested in plot to bomb Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland. This is the FBI. So let's see. According to the affidavit, on November 4, 2010, Muhammad and the undercover FBI operatives, plural, traveled to a remote location in Lincoln County, Oregon, where they detonated a bomb concealed in a backpack as a trial run for the upcoming attack. Afterwards, on the drive back to Corvallis, undercover FBI operatives questioned Muhammad as to whether he was capable of looking at the bodies, blah, 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 blah. Upon returning to Corvallis that same day, the affidavit alleges that Muhammad recorded a video of himself with the undercover FBI operatives in which he read a written statement that offered a rationale for his bomb attack. On November 18, 2010, undercover FBI operatives picked up Muhammad to travel to Portland. They picked him up. Read the story of James Cromedy. Read the New York Times article, Terrorist Plots Helped Along or Hatched by the FBI, back in 2012. The point is, when we see these incidents and they're used as a pretext for the existence of the FBI and CIA, and it's them carrying out these operations, or it sure looks like it. If it's not, it bears striking resemblance each time in each case. To the same MO every time, using whether it's a school incident or it's, you know, Muhammad and the Pioneer Square incident, or it's the San Bernardino incident nonsense or whatever. You know, a pressure cooker bomb at the Boston Marathon, and it just so happens that agencies are conducting drills at the same time in the same exact location. And then there's the Sarna brothers' connection to Graham Fuller. Read Guillermo Jimenez's article over at Traces of Reality, 2013. The Sarnas and the CIA. Who is Graham Fuller? Indeed, who is Graham Fuller? And how does he know the Sarnas, Uncle Ruslan, and so on? So the point is, you have this network of intriguers creating chaos, including here, and using that as a pretext to greater and greater control and, you know, doing more of the same, rinse and repeat. Because, hey, if it ain't broke, why fix it? On the network of you know, and guys like Philip Marshall write the book, The Big Bamboozle, to try to tell people about it and, well, you know, get suicided, of course. But on the informant, gosh, what's his name too? I forget. It's right on the tip of my brain. Hate it when that happens. The mosque out in California, the big one, part of the Tablighi Jamaat network. Speaking of Philip Haney, man, Can't think of the guy's name. Hate when that happens. And it's the mosque that the San Bernardino Said Farouk and Tashfin Malik allegedly visited. And it's always the same MO. You start looking into it, listening to what guys like Philip Haney say, and I can't think of his name. Maybe it'll come to me. Anyway, moving on. We have several clips queued or in the hopper, but and I said it would come back to the Alexis story. Can we just knock some of these out real fast? The Eric Holder thing is like a minute long. Can we play that real fast?
As well, but not only them, okay, so, community leaders.
Go ahead, sorry.
To be involved in this program as well, but not only them, community leaders. Jesse Jackson, Mayor Barry, people who have credibility with young people should be on the television, on the radio, as much as we possibly can, and telling these youngsters that it's wrong to carry a gun, and that if you have information about people who are carrying guns, you've got to share that with Chief Thomas and with his people as well. I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. We also want to have a hotline that we will set up and have the number of that hotline that would just go out there, and that would be something that people would have emblazoned in their minds so that when they see a gun.
That's enough. You know, so that's Eric Holder, obviously. just, you know, doing what Eric Holder does. We need to brainwash people and get them to think about guns in a vastly different way. Brainwash, be repetitive. Brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. And so you heard him talking about schools. That was sort of the point, you know, the anti-violence, anti-gun message every day, every school at every level. Are we seeing that now? You know, I grew up in an era, I was born in Libby, Montana, grew up in an era when we were still, and it wasn't that long ago, we were still driving to school in trucks with rifles in the back window, loaded rifles, and no one ever got shot in school. Imagine that. A rifle and a fishing rod, because it was probably either hunting season or fishing season. So no one ever got shot in school. In fact, if someone tried to do that, woe unto them. Bad idea. And anyway, so there's that. And all of this is sort of peripheral to Memorial Day, I would say. The intrigue and deception that the American people are plagued by and victimized by. We shouldn't allow this. I want to play that little clip of Wes Clark when he says, well, I asked the question earlier, what is the purpose of the military? So what is the purpose of the military? Here's what a four-star general said, reflecting on basically what is known as the Wolfowitz Doctrine, a.k.a. the Oded Yanan Plan. Go ahead, please.
I've been training troops. I haven't been thinking geostrategy for some time. And suddenly a guy just sort of shoves this nugget at you. Well, you remember it. It was a pretty stunning thing. You mean the purpose of the military is to start wars and change governments? It's not to sort of deter conflict? We're going to invade countries? And, I you know, my mind was spinning. And I put that aside. It was like a nugget that you hold on to. This country was taken over by a group of people with a policy coup. Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and you could name a half dozen other collaborators from the Project for a New American Century. They wanted us to destabilize the Middle East, turn it upside down, make it under our control. It went back to those comments in 1991. Now, did anybody ever tell you that? Was there a national dialogue on this? Did senators and congressmen stand up and denounce this plan? Was there a full-fledged American debate on it? Absolutely not. And there still isn't. And that's why we're failing in Iraq.
That's a four-star general, Wesley Clark, telling you like it is. So what's the purpose of the military? You know, which gets back again to Ralph McGahee's words back in 1993. The CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. And what Wesley Clark just shared, that was his personal experience as a four-star general, it echoes the words of Ralph McGahee. These are unimpeachable witnesses, basically. They were there. These are firsthand accounts of decorated people. In this case, Ralph McGahee and Wes Clark. So that's from the four TV clip, the Commonwealth Club speech. There, everybody wants to play that Democracy Now! Interview that Wes Clark did in March of 2007. 7 months later, in October, is when he gave this Commonwealth Club address, and the remarks at the Commonwealth Club were more provocative than the Democracy Now! Clip. So I always refer to this one, and it's 4TV posted it on their YouTube channel in November of 2007. It's titled Wes Clark, America's Foreign Policy Coup. It's 8 minutes long, and you know, he says all of the seven countries in 5 years stuff, and this, which he didn't say, the clip we just played, he didn't say anything like that in the Democracy Now! Interview, not to this extent. So this is a four-star general. This is something I think every American should listen to. And it's difficult. It's heartbreaking to try to have these conversations because it means that many people have been lied to and misled. And as heartbreaking as it is, you know, I mean, back to Howard Zinn's remarks, the clip that we played about patriotism, it means that our patriotism is misplaced and misguided in many cases, which begs the question, are people dying in vain? Or certainly not for the cause of liberty and freedom and democracy that we hear about. It needs to stop. And, you know, there are times we go through waves where we seem to figure it out, but not quite. So anyway, there are a number of stories on RBN if you're interested. Several. Just to conclude, the kids and the psychotropics, you know, that story over on RBN, pharmaceutical murder, mass shootings caused by drugs. And every time I think of that story, I think of SSRIstories.com, the website with over 6,000 mainstream stories on this kind of stuff. You know, dad barricades himself and family in house, shoots everybody. Mom drowns kids in bathtub. It's always psychotropics involved. But they don't cause violent, aggressive behavior, except when they do, which is why the ads say it now. You know, if you have thoughts of suicide or... And it's good that the drugs just contain it to suicide, right? No. Self or other directed harm, they call it. Anyway, a number of headlines, but I want to get to the Alexa story. Just some headlines to mention real quick. A real solution to mass school shootings. That's a good one. These are all on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. You can find them there now. New DARPA program plans to patrol cities with AI drones. That's fun. That's a great story. Amid rash of school shootings, more parents turn to homeschooling, which is great. But, you know, the problem is the federal model there. That's all planned too, by the way. Charter schools are not the answer. Listen to Charlotte Iserby or watch the 60 Minutes expose on how the Gulen Network is running charter schools in America. What else did I see? High school students who will not smile in the hallways are sent to mandatory counseling while bullying is rampant. Yeah. Texas school shooting, unanswered questions and oddities. Then there are many. What was the other one? There's one other one that I saw. U.S. birth rate drops to 109-year low. That's another interesting story. So what happened 109 years ago? You know, the Rockefeller Eugenics Commission was in high gear. The National Institutes of Health, which were basically created, as you hear the commercial on RBN, it wasn't created for you. It was part of a eugenics project. Read Edwin Black's War Against the Weak. Anyway, in the remaining moment here, let's do the Alexa story. There are two stories up on RBN right now dealing with this, right? It's one of them is family removes Alexa device after devices after a stranger in another town heard everything they were saying. And then the other story, this is how Amazon's Alexa records and shares private conversations without your permission. Remember when, you know, we've heard from all of these services, like Amazon specifically said they don't record that information. No, we don't record any of that. Well, then how do you explain this? Oh, no, it's explained away, except the family says, nah. Anyway, if you're ready with that news clip, go ahead, please.
Cairo 7, it's the glitch heard round the world.
I felt invaded, like total privacy invasion.
A woman says her Alexa device recorded her private conversation and messaged it to someone else.
In response, they just waved and ran away.
Tonight, her frustration with Amazon's response and the company's new explanation. So Amazon is explaining tonight how they're trying to keep conversations around their devices private.
Cairo 7's Gary Horker broke the original story last night. And Gary, today Amazon sent an offer to the woman who shared her story.
Right, that offer was a little meager. They offered to refund her money for her entire Amazon Echo Alexa system. What she really wanted wasn't money. She wanted to have a conversation one-on-one with somebody here at Amazon so she could help them solve this issue, because she says their explanation today is only part of the story.
It just felt like they didn't care.
When Danielle in Portland shared her story with us, she was hoping Amazon would fix a major problem, which somehow enabled her Amazon Echo to record a private conversation inside her home, randomly pick a person out of her contacts, and send that information to that person's phone in Seattle.
They have absolutely
there you go.
No
That's,
right.
That is actually the Cairo 7 news story there that you're hearing. The title headline, woman says her Amazon device recorded private conversation, sent it out to random contact. And Amazon said it was a series of commands that were given to Amazon. And she said, what? No, we were there. It didn't happen. Anyway, weird stuff. That'll do it for this today's National Intel Report. I appreciate the opportunity to sit in for John Stabmiller. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. In spite of everything that I said in the last 2 hours, seriously, I do. I hope you have a great one. And as I always say on my broadcast, take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.